My name is Winter Case. I'm from Louisiana, Northwest Louisiana. I came to Christ when I was 12 years old. So I don't have a history of drugs and alcohol and all of that. I was considered a good kid by my teachers and my parents and our neighbors. But I was sitting in church training one Sunday night. And I'd been to church and I'd been studying my Bible. And I was thinking, all right, it was all right because I was doing this. I was a Christian, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me during that time of class and said, you've got to make a decision and you've got to choose me. You have to come to me to submit to me. So I told my friends about it during the week. And then on Sunday, after our Sunday school time, my friends took me to the pastor and I visited with him, and he officially then prayed to receive Christ in my life. But I didn't really understand what I was a Christian. It was 1950, 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't really understand what it meant to be a Christian, what how I was to live. And everybody kept telling me, says, you have to be good. You have to do good. And so this was my life of trying to be good and to working to do good. And I felt good when people said, oh, Winter, you're doing such a great job. And I thought, that's what it's all about. God sees me. I'm doing good. And this went on for 40 years. In 1988, I was driving from Houston to Austin, and I had a cassette tape, and it was a pastor from up in Dallas, and he was speaking on the second chapter of Revelations, and he read that scripture, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. And I was thinking about that, and a voice in the car told me, Winter, you don't love me. And immediately I wanted to take up for myself. I was thinking, but God, all these things I'm doing for you. I'm doing all these things. I do love you. But the spirit within me said, no, that's not the love. So I went back and I started searching the Bible and studying, how do I love God? How do you, as a sinner, a person, a nothing, love a God that is head of all creation, the ruler of the world? How do I love him? He doesn't need me. I know how to love my wife. I know how to love my kids. I know how to love friends. But I didn't know how to love God. So in my studies, the first thing I found, and it's found a number of times in John, it's found in Matthew, and it's found in 1 John. And basically it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Or the one who loves me keeps my commandments. So that was the first thing the Lord brought to me. I love God by being obedient. And in further studies, I found that I show my love for God when I trust him. So that was a way that I would love God, was to completely trust him. When I love him and I trust him, it means that I'm submitted to him. So that was the part of it. But there was one more thing. And in any love relationship, there has to be communication. And of course, we think of prayer, but in the past, I thought mostly of prayer is, Lord, I want this, and I want that, and I want the other. But in this study, it showed me that prayer is so much more than just asking. We're to ask, definitely. But it's not the most important thing, because God knows what we want before we even ask him. The more important things, it came to me during my prayer time, my personal prayer time, was the worship, the praise, the thanksgiving, the intercession. Those are the things. The praise and worship and thanksgiving deepens that relationship, and our relationship with the Lord is what it's all about. We can mumble a prayer, and we can get dunked in the baptismal pool, but if we don't build that relationship, we haven't done anything. And if communication builds the relationship. Now, that's me talking to God, but then there has to be God talking to me. We talk to God, we pray, and He listens. We study His Word, He speaks to us, and we listen to Him. So I really feel the time of, we call it a quiet time or Bible study time. To me, the real meaning is a personal worship time, is what that time is. I speak, and then I study His Word and allow Him to speak to me. This changed my life, and my life has been so good ever since that time. It's an adventure every day to see what God is doing and to learn what He would have me to do. And Jeremiah says, if you seek me, you'll find me, if you seek me with all your heart. And James had said, draw near to God and He will draw near to me. And my life since that time has been a time of seeking God and drawing near to Him. After this time, God began to have me do different things. And this was in 88. In 94, the pastor and I went to a meeting of our International Mission Board, and they asked us to pray for groups of people where very few knew Jesus as their Savior. And we decided that we would take on this task of praying for a group. Our missions committee got together, and we decided on a group, and then this group was found in South Asia. And we began to pray and to communicate with them, the people there. And after about a year, we asked, well, what can we do to help you? And they said, you can bring a team over to help us. And I thought, me go to South Asia? I dreamed of going to Europe, but South Asia, nah. But God put it on my heart. And I felt that this was His calling. He wanted us to take a team to go over to help them. And I went to the pastor, and the pastor was not in favor of it. He said, I don't think it's the best thing we can do, but I'm not going to say you shouldn't do it. And so I got with our education minister. He encouraged me. I got with friends who had been all around the world on mission trips, and we began to pray. And basically, we got nowhere. It was he and I and our wives and my son and another young man, friend of my son's, and that was not near enough. And we didn't have any extra money for materials to take with us. And it was really getting on to me. And I was praying. And I remember that Wednesday night, I had to go to Austin, Texas, on business, and all my trip over, it was praying, God, we need you. If you want us to go to South Asia, you're going to have to help us. And I prayed, and when I got into the motel, I did Bible study and prayer from that time until around 10:30. I went in bed, prayed, basically, till I went to sleep. And about 5:30 in the morning, I woke up and I thought, well, I don't have to do anything immediately, so I'm going to just lay here and pray for a while. I started praying, and I don't know where I was awake or asleep, But I found myself up real high, looking down, watching me pray. And I was listening to me pray, and I was praying scripture and claiming scripture promises. And that scripture was not in my memory, but it was coming out of my mouth. And then it changed. I went into a room, and I was extremely hungry, very hungry. I wanted something to eat, and I said, I'm hungry. I want something to eat. And a light, sort of a ball of light, was there. And a hand came out of that light with a pan. It looked sort of like cheesecake. And the hand, another hand came out and cut a small piece of that cheesecake and scraped it on my plate. I looked at that and I said, that's not enough. I'm really hungry. I want more than that. And a voice says, that's sufficient. And as I looked at it, I could taste it in my mouth. It's one of the most wonderful tastes I've ever had. And I realized everything was, that was enough. Now that was good. And then all of a sudden I was back watching me pray. And a voice almost singing with joy said, you have what you want. Everything gone, went away. I was laying there in the bed. And I went back. I told the pastor what had happened. And he said, that it's God's will, so we're going to do it. He jumped aboard and began to work. And the next week, we got a call from another church that was going to be going over. And they said they had about six people, which rounded out our team. And so God met the need. And again, I was seeking after God, and God showed himself. So he's there. 2 years later, it was the same thing. We were supposed to go. And all these times I'm praying, I'm saying, God, is this my ego working or is this your will? What do you want me to do? Is this something, Lord, if it's my ego, then shut it down. But if it's your will, you need to supply our needs. I went down about 100 miles from Houston on a sales call. I called on my regular customers in the morning, and they gave me some ideas of other customers to go and see. So after lunch, I began to call. I didn't make a single contact. So I got my Bible study out and began my Bible study and prayer. God, I need, if you want us to go, I need people, and I need funds for the people to go. And then I would, in an hour, I'd stop and try to call customers again. Again, made no contacts. Back to the Bible study and prayer. And I did this 3 o'clock. Same thing. I could contact no one. Back to Bible study and prayer. And then at 4 o'clock, it's too late. So I just continued with my Bible study and prayer, Bible study and prayer. I went out, ate supper, and I came back, Bible study and prayer, Bible study and prayer. Until around 10 or 10:30, got ready for bed. I got in bed, turned the light out. It was very dark. No lights shining, the curtains. It was absolute darkness. I was laying on my back, and I'm still praying and praising God. And all of a sudden, the room was filled with light, sort of like a bright moonlit night. But only in the light, there was a little bitty lights flickering. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. There was different colors, red, green, yellow, blue, and all of this all around me. I thought to myself, something's going on. My eyes were closed. And I opened my eyes, and yes, it was there. The room was full of that light and the tinkling lights. And I, this is God. I flipped over on my stomach and buried my head in the pillow. And I started saying, God, I'm a sinner. I don't know how I can be with you. God, forgive me. And I was scared to death, scared to death. I just lay there and I was listening for him. A light, that ball of light that I'd seen before came. With my eyes closed, I saw it come and it stood right over me. For some time, I don't know how long, it seemed like 5 or 10 minutes, it was probably a minute or two. And then the light began to go back behind me to leave. And then I hadn't received any information. And I just cried out, "What does this mean, Lord? What does this mean?" Again, and a voice said, "Simply, He is with you." And then the light was gone and the flickering lights were all gone and I was left alone. And as I went back home, everything, within a week, everything had fallen into place. All the needs were met. So I firmly believe that when we seek God, He will come to us. We draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. And I believe that one of the most important ways that we love God is in our communication with Him.
Thanks, Winter.